It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, a new caucus-inspired musical. It's a song-by-song parody of the classic show A Chorus Line. I'll talk with creator Robert John Ford. But first, there are many barriers that can stand in the way of a patient getting the medical care they need. Cost, access to specialists, availability of care, and transportation. Lifeline Pilots is trying to break down the transportation barrier. It's a volunteer pilot organization that provides patient transportation all over the Midwest to those who need it. Lindsay Kerr is the executive director of the organization based in Peoria, Illinois. She's on the line with us. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And Peter Tehan is also here, one of the volunteer pilots. He is based in Cedar Rapids. Hello, Peter.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here. And Lindsay, why don't you give us a little bit of understanding of this organization, Lifeline Pilots. I mentioned it's based in Peoria, Illinois, and it's a regional organization. You cover 10 states in the Midwest, right?
That's right. So, we are a nonprofit, and we provide non-emergency flights for people in need for transportation for medical care. So we do need a little bit of lead-in time, so we're not, you know, the life flight type organization. Instead, we provide flights for people who need to travel a great distance for medical care, whether that be for a second opinion, a follow-up, if it needs to be a monthly appointment. We can do that too. We have no limit to the number of times someone can fly with us. And like you said, we cover 10 states in the Midwest. We're based in Peoria, Illinois, but we are a small but mighty team here. We have 4 staff members, but we cover hundreds of thousands of square miles throughout the Midwest. You know, we might fly someone from Ohio all the way to Iowa for care. And we do that through volunteer pilots.
So you mentioned the people who can take advantage of this service. Give me a concrete example of somebody who would qualify for the assistance and that you could really help.
Sure. So we do ask that people who use our service be in need. So that might be a financial need, but it also might be somebody who can't travel on a commercial airline. Maybe their immune system is compromised and they're not able to fly commercially. Or physically, maybe they aren't able to sit in a car for 10 or 12 hours in order to get the care that they need. So one example is we have someone that we flew recently. I was able to go on the flight with them, and we flew from Peoria to Rochester, Minnesota for care at Mayo. Mayo is someplace where we fly people quite frequently. And it was a couple who are in their 50s, and she has severe scoliosis, and she had been given a diagnosis that her life was going to be cut short because of the disease progression. And she needed to go and get treatment at Mayo. That was kind of her last chance. And they couldn't afford to go. They had a car that wasn't reliable. They couldn't afford the fuel cost, and they needed to get up to Mayo. And so we were able to help her partner with one of our volunteer pilots. I was able to go along on the flight. And when we got to Rochester, the look on her face, she just, you could tell that the emotion of being there was so great. And she said that this was the scariest time of her life, but also she knew that she was where she needed to be. And she was just so grateful to us for flying her. And she gave our pilot a huge hug. And just to see that emotion on her face and to know that we were able to get her where she needed to be for the treatment that she needed, it's an amazing feeling. And just to know that we do it through volunteers and that our volunteer pilots give their time and their expertise to fly our passengers is just amazing.
How does a passenger, a potential passenger or patient, apply for the program?
Sure. So we have an online application, which is available on our website. So it's lifelinepilots.org. They complete the application. We do need a physician to sign off that they are able to fly. It's often on a an unpressurized plane. So they need to be able to fly on an unpressurized plane. We do have a few pilots who fly pressurized planes if we're able to organize that for them. But if their physician signs off and they complete the application, and then we do all the coordination. We have a great mission coordinator here in our office who works with our volunteer pilots in order to make the flight happen.
All right. Well, let's talk more about those volunteer pilots. And Peter, we'll talk about you first, and then we'll talk about some of the other people involved in the program. Peter Tehan, you live in Cedar Rapids. How did you get involved in this program?
Really, I've been involved since about 1993. And I heard about it back then, about flying for humanitarian purposes. It caught my interest, and I started looking into lifeline pilots. And I've really been excited about the progress they've made over the years, how strong they've built their resources and their communication, both in the office and working with the patients. It really takes the onus off of the pilot. You know, our focus is caring for the patient once they're on board. And we know that Lindsay and all of her office staff is coordinating all the details there in Peoria. But it was... You know, you're always a quandary. What's this going to be like, and how is it going to be dealing with the patients and the family members? Usually, we take a patient and a family member, or someone, a caretaker, along with them. And I got hooked. I made it clear and simple. First passenger I took, I got hooked on it. Said, this is an awesome experience.
Where was that first flight to?
Well, it was taking him from. It was flying, I think, from here up to Rochester, and we were doing a relay. And that's a lot of times, because of the distance we're carrying, a lot of times we'll do two or three segments. So no pilot has to go a long distance. So mine, the first time, was just a short one. From somebody flew into Cedar Rapids, we switched planes, and I took him up to Rochester. And it was a child. Who all, you know, had a big grin on the face when, you know, he had a positive experience getting up to that point. And I always, when I take patients with this, and especially the kids, I like to sit them up in the cockpit with me, and they sit in the co-pilot seat, and we give them the controls of the plane.
Nice.
And, you know, kind of teach them, you know.
So
kind of,
having to go get medical treatment obviously can be a really difficult thing for a child who's dealing with a significant health challenge. But what a peak experience to, mm-hmm. I'm sure for some of them, it's their first flight. And then to get to actually be in a small plane and mm-hmm. even take the controls, what an exciting experience.
I've over the years have collected little wings, you know, pilot wings, and a lot of times I'll give it to the kids so they wear it off. And every once in a while you interface with those kids on different flights. You know, you never know who's going to be your next guest on board the airplane, but it's always been such a positive experience.
So give us an idea of a little bit of your background, because you're not a professional pilot, and most of the pilots in this program are not professional mm-hmm. pilots. You are actually a funeral director by day, right?
Right.
So when did you first start flying?
Well, I started flying back in 1972, and it was a freshman in college, and I had taken an airplane ride in high school and got hooked, you know. And they say once you're in the air in a plane, you never, you know, you're always looking up at the sky. And that's what I found. And so I got into 1972, got a pilot's license in college, couldn't afford to fly that much. So I kind of fell out of flying, got back in the late 80s, and bought an airplane that I have now. It's a Piper Lance. It's a 6-passenger plane. It has a nice cargo door, double door in the side of the back plane. So it opens those up. You step into the plane. It's nice and comfortable. We got 4 comfortable seats in the back there for my guest on the plane to be in. And it is, and I use it for work, my airplane, but I also like using it for charity work. And I do a lot of humanitarian work over the years. And some of it is with Lifeline Pilots. Some is in disaster response. A lot of people know from that. But it's always trying to figure out how to give back. And that's why when I talk to pilots, you know, local pilots in the area, or when I run into pilots at airports around the country, when we land, they say, what are you doing? And And I said, I'm with Lifeline Pilots. And they said, why do you do that? Because I love giving back. I love putting value to a gift I've been giving of being able to fly an airplane and sharing that with other people. And I had, it really got personal a couple of years ago for me because I had two daughters that got very sick. I was told at one point they were both dying at the same time, but different causes. And, you're trying to figure out what do you do? And, we ended up, one daughter had to go to Houston to MD Anderson Cancer Clinic down there. The other one ended up doing several trips to Rochester. And I had the gift of flight. And so instead of taking a patient that you just met at a tarmac and putting in the plane to take, this is taking my daughters, we were told at the point we're dying. And because of my ability to move my daughters and not incur all the expense of commercial flight, and some of them were in situations where they couldn't fly commercially, we had the gift of flight. And that really cemented me to the power of Lifeline Pilot is, well, every time I fly with a patient with Lifeline, I'm now recalled of taking my daughters, and both my daughters are well. They were able to get them both. They've overcome what they were told originally was killing them. It's been a miracle in both, but it was aided by the miracle of flight and Lifeline
and
Pilots.
And you now fully understand the gift that you're giving to your passengers,
right?
Because you've been in that position.
It's more than just putting somebody in the seat. You know that you're having an impact on possibly saving their lives, and that's why we do it.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking with Peter Tehan. He's one of the volunteer pilots for Lifeline Pilots, an organization based in Peoria, Illinois, a network of volunteer pilots that fly people who need medical care all over the Midwest, a 10-state region. Also with me, Lindsay Kerr, executive director of the organization. And we will continue our conversation in just a moment. Later in the hour, we'll find out a new song-by-song parody of the beloved musical A Chorus Line. It's called Adore Us Line, and it's all about the Iowa caucuses. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up in about 15 minutes, a new song-by-song parody of the classic musical, A Chorus Line. It's called A Doris Line. It's about the Iowa caucuses, and I'll talk with the creator, Robert John Ford. Right now, we're talking about Lifeline Pilots. It's an organization that flies patients all over the Midwest who need medical care and don't have the transportation or can't get the transportation they need to get to the care. And with me now is Lindsay Kerr, executive director of this organization based in Peoria, Illinois, and Peter Tehan, one of the volunteer pilots. He's based in Cedar Rapids. And Lindsay, Peter told us his story of being a volunteer pilot. You have about 450 pilots in your database. Tell me how you recruit pilots.
Well, this is a really great way to recruit pilots. It's really just getting the word out. We are only restricted by the number of volunteers that we have who are able to take passengers. Iowa is actually a state where we are severely lacking in pilots. We need a lot more volunteers. And this is a great way for us to be able to start to get the word out that this is an opportunity that we have. Peter just gave a great example of why pilots do what they do. It's all about being able to give back to somebody else, because we couldn't do this without the volunteers. The pilots donate their time, their aircraft, their fuel in order to fly people in need. And a lot of times they are saving a life. And so it's a great way to be able to get up and do something that they love, to get up and fly, to be up in the air and to also give back at the same time.
How do pilots qualify? Yeah. What are their qualifications?
Sure. So what we have on our website is we have a place where pilots can go. So our website is lifelinepilots.org. They can go and fill in an application. We have very few qualifications, really. They have to be 21 and older. They have to have a minimum of 250 hours of being a pilot in command of an aircraft. They have to show us that they have insurance and pass a medical exam in order to and show us proof of that, just to show us that they are fit to fly, and then complete our online training, which is all pretty easy to do. So we're just looking. You don't have to be a commercial pilot. We just look for pilots who love to fly and want to be able to give back.
Well, and Peter, you talked a lot about wanting to give back, but I can imagine that as someone who does love to fly and owns a plane, there probably comes a point where you maybe can't make up enough excuses to get up in the air. Is that a true experience?
Well, I think every pilot I know says, what's a good excuse to go up? Oh, I got to go practice. You know, I'd tell my wife, oh, I got to go practice. So, you know, takeoffs and landings just to get in. Airtime in a plane is just incredible. And you, every time you get up in the air and you're flying along, it's like you're in a whole new world. And it is a blessing to be able to have this gift and to share it. But one of the things I really like about being a pilot for Lifeline is the pilots have the final decision. You know, we may have to be asked to transport a patient somewhere, but if the weather's not right, if the plane's not feel right that day, they pitch in and they say, okay, how else can we transport this patient? Because, you know, we don't want to fly in an ice storm or a snowstorm. We don't
have
the capabilities. We're not taking any chances with it. Air traffic control does a wonderful job of taking a flight like Lifeline pilots. And we have a special identifier, and that identifier tells air traffic control, we have a patient on board, we get priority treatment. And so we're able to move faster through congested airspace to make sure it's safe flight. And so a Lifeline pilot tends to be a leader in organizations like ours that, get the patient safely to where they need to go and respect the decision of the pilot to say it's a go, no-go flight for the safety of the pilot and the passengers.
Lindsay, how do you handle liability? Because I can imagine that there are some people listening thinking, I don't know that even if I really needed to get to the doctor, I'd want to get on somebody else's private plane. How do you deal with that uncertainty?
Well, to start with, we as an organization have some very experienced and responsible pilots. We have 100% safety rating, and we have been doing this job since 1981. So Lifeline Pilots has been around almost 40 years with 100% safety rating. And that is because we put the ultimate control in the hands of the pilot. And pilots are not going to fly if they don't feel comfortable with mainly the weather. The weather is probably one of the biggest barriers for a flight taking place or not. Because pilots keep their planes in immaculate condition, and so oftentimes it's not canceled because of a plane issue, it's the weather. We really make sure that our pilots meet our specifications and that they're qualified pilots, that people feel comfortable flying with them. And we really just make sure that we're providing a really safe and fun experience. Because, you know, like Peter said earlier, this might be something that someone has never done before. You know, maybe they've never been up in a plane, or maybe they've just never been up in a small general aviation plane. And it's such a fun experience for them. And we don't want them to be worried about flying. We want them to enjoy the experience.
Well, and we touched on this earlier, but the people who fly, these are not medically equipped planes. These are people's personal aircraft. So
that's right.
It's important to understand that these pilots are not providing any kind of medical care to the individuals on the plane.
No, and And we don't provide medical staff to come along. People are allowed to bring, an adult can bring one other companion to fly with them, a caregiver. And if we're flying a child, we allow two caregivers or both parents to come along. Infrequently, people would bring a nurse along with them, but oftentimes they're not bringing anyone who is a medical professional along on the flight with them. Sometimes people do have a lot of medical equipment that they need to travel with, and if that's the case, then sometimes we have to work a little bit harder to find a pilot who has a larger plane who can transport them.
Flying is extremely expensive, and of course, the pilots who volunteered, they own their own craft, so in the most cases, I would guess that money's not much of a barrier for them. But is there an opportunity to be reimbursed for the flight if, you know, they're willing, they're able to fly, but can't afford it?
No. So unfortunately, due to FAA regulations, in order for pilots to be able to fly with us, it is 100% a voluntary effort. And so the pilots are not able to be reimbursed, but it is something that is tax deductible, mm-hmm. so they can look at it that way. It's like a donation to a nonprofit.
Peter, how do you get an assignment? How do you know that you have the opportunity to fly somebody?
Well, Lifeline Pilots will look at all their flight potentials, then they list them on the internet. We'll get an email saying we got passengers or a patient that needs to be moved, and can you pick up this flight? And you just go through your calendar and see if you can do it. You send them an email back and say, I'm available for the flight. And the Lifeline crew then says, okay, this is a three-legged flight, so you're meeting up this. You coordinate with the passenger. It makes it easy on the pilot because Lifeline does all the work.
Nice.
You know, if we pull the plane out of the hangar and get our plane where we're meeting the patient, we know that Lifeline's got our back and makes it so much easier. And that's why I tell pilots, you focus on the flight. They're taking care of all the other details out there, so you're not spending a lot of time. Your is to make this a safe flight. Make it a fun flight for the passenger as much, and a comfortable flight for the passenger and their escorts as much as possible.
Well, you talked about what you do with the kids. What do you do to make other patients comfortable when they fly with you?
I think a lot of times you get talking to people who've never been in a small plane, and so you go around and just explain it to them. And you know, everybody says, "Oh, I'm afraid of turbulence." So I said, "It's like taking a car and driving down a gravel road in Iowa. You know, it bumps along the gravel road. Turbulence isn't a problem. This is how a plane flies." And if you take the time to just explain it to people, they become more relaxed. Then they start asking questions, and they want to know, you know, how we can figure out where we're going. And, you know, knowledge is such a powerful tool. You know, once you take someone who has created these false perceptions of what being in an airplane is, and explain to them, they actually relax and look forward to, you know, they'll get a lot of times get out of the plane and say, that was just awesome. I appreciate you so much. And we, you know, I guess one of the biggest advantages we get as Lifeline pilots are the hugs. You know, you get a patient somewhere where they're going either to the medical facility or bringing them home from them. And there is, you know, you asked about, reimbursed. Mm-hmm. The biggest reimbursement we get as a pilot is the hug when we land the plane. And it's the appreciation of, I've never had a patient that didn't appreciate and valued what we've done and made their life so it's much easier. And, you know, one of the requirements that, you know, Lindsay missed on hers is the pilots, everyone, a Lifeline pilot, I swear, has an oversized heart because that's why they're there.
Very
and that's
true.
That's one of the requirements is, you know, you can't do this kind of volunteer work unless you have a big heart and you want to take those hugs from people and you know that you've either saved this person's life or you gave them a better quality of
right.
life than
you've
they've ever had before.
How many times do you fly every year? I mean, it sounds like you fly when you're available. It's up to you and your schedule. How many times do you typically do a Lifeline pilot flight?
Never enough. You know, I feel I try to do several a year. And it's oftentimes with, I do disaster work, so a lot of time I'm always on call for disaster work, and Lifeline will transport folks to who are responding to disasters or supplies. They help with that coordination too. But, you know, over the years, I've done dozens and dozens of flights over the years. Some years, I not as many as I like, but it's, I always try to look at the schedule and fit one in, you know, every few months if I can, and sometimes it works and that's what's really nice about Lifeline. You don't have to do it every other month. You don't have, it's what your schedule is. And I know if Lindsay or her staff calls up and says, hey, Peter, we really need you on this one. I can do it. I'm kind of easier on short notices than long, you know, scheduling it out a couple weeks. But you do what you can when you can do it, and they understand and they appreciate and value every flight you give them.
Lindsay, tell me how many flights you arrange every year. So we talked about Peter's personal commitment,
sure.
but how many flights approximately does the whole organization manage every year?
So this past year in 2019, we scheduled almost 900 flights for passengers in need. And that keeps our staff extremely busy on a daily basis trying to coordinate the passengers and the new pilots that we have that come on board, and just really facilitate those flights to happen. And it couldn't be done without our volunteer pilots, that's for sure.
And you mentioned that you cover a 10-state region, but there are other organizations like this organization. Do you coordinate with them?
Yeah, that's one of the best things about what we do, that our mission is to help the person in need. So if somebody needs to get from here to Boston, then we will coordinate with another organization that does a similar job to us, but just in a different region. And there are other organizations throughout the United States. So every part of the U.S. is covered by a volunteer pilot organization that can fly people in need for free.
You have mentioned, Peter, a couple of other times flying disaster relief. It sounds like you're very involved in charitable work as a pilot. Can you give me just a thumbnail sketch of how much other kinds of charitable work you do with your pilot's
license? Oh, good grief. As a pilot, I guess I have a flight coming up here in March that's going to take me around the world.
Wow.
As a charitable flight. And that'll be raising money to eradicate polio, in the world. So that's 700 pilots in history have done what we're setting out to do. There's only 265 or so pilots alive in the world today. But it's all from the same cause, and that's, I think, it's not connected with Lifeline, but it is the same heart, the same spirit of giving. And that's why I recommend all pilots, no matter how much time you have or whether you think you have the time, try it. Call Lifeline. Get on their pilot's roster, do one mission. And I would guarantee if you give Lifeline an opportunity to give, if they give you an opportunity to fly with them and you give your time, one of those hugs or one of those smiles is going to get you hooked and flying more flights for Lifeline and humanitarian missions of any kind. As I got hooked back in 1993 and still fly today with Lifeline.
You have often, as a volunteer, found yourself transporting service dogs as well.
Service dogs. And that's Lifeline is a humanitarian organization. I've been asked to say, hey, we've asked service dogs that need to be transported. And service dogs are special, you know, medical equipment. You know, and so I've been blessed. I do have a service dog in training, and so I'm part of an organization that trains service dogs. And these dogs have to come as puppies from all around the country. And Lifeline has been blessed to allow me to take those and do those flights as humanitarian flights. And so I've had the most I've had was 6 golden retriever puppies in the plane with me.
Wow.
And the others are 2, and they always end up either laying on the back of my neck or on my lap helping me fly a plane as we go along. But, you know, now we take those, and now we're in training. We train with these dogs, and you go in the class and you say, well, those class we had last week, I think there was seven dogs, and four of them were dogs that through Lifeline Pilots we were able to bring up.
Wow.
Training takes about 3 years to get them certified. And then you're there as graduation classes. These dogs go out and give them to folks with PTSD or medical alerts. And, you know,
that's awesome.
Lifeline Pilots been part of that process.
Peter Tehan, thank you so much for telling us about your work. And thank you for doing this. That's really incredible.
Thank you for having us.
Peter Tehan is one of the volunteer pilots with Lifeline Pilots. And Lindsay Kerr, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Lindsay Kerr is Executive Director of Lifeline Pilots, the organization based in Peoria, Illinois. You can find out more about the work that they do at lifelinepilots.org. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.